We've gone ahead and made Windows in general completely manageable. So in every single way, from networking to file systems to Hyper-V, it's easy to configure, it's easy to change, and it's easy to develop.
We're making it very simple. It's exquisite. It's fast. It's good. It's intuitive.
Boom, you start one of those applications and you're diving right into a very natural and compelling experience that I think is going to pull customers in.
It'll make their work very much easier and they will feel empowered and they will feel very happy to actually use the product.
And so it'll be quicker and easier to use.
Really kind of love the new interaction model about switching apps and how to get quick access to information. I think it's super fun.
Windows 8 reinvents Windows.
They're going to be like, whoa, what happened to the start menu? That's exactly what they're going to say. That'll be like the first thing that everyone says.
They'll find interactions to be fast and fluid, so it's quick and easy to perform actions. And once they've learned to do something, they will find it really enjoyable.
I love the search experience simply because it's a concept that we've strived to really simplify, and that helps shine and show the power of the single tap to search across all of your applications.
Magnify is great. You can pan now with touch very fluidly, and also the on-screen keyboard has next word prediction, which is a huge time saver if people use on-screen keyboards.
It just makes things faster for a great many people. I hate waiting.
It's going to enable connectivity to whole new classes of devices, to Windows.
The device configuration feature is actually one of the ones that I'm most excited about because it will enable near instantaneous device configuration.
But the speed that we have for device discovery and device installation is very fast.
All of your devices will just work. Windows will sense them and make them ready to use, and you won't ever have to worry about making your stuff work again.
We have built this entire platform for always on, always connected.
My favorite feature has to be the ability to connect to any wireless network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi network or even a mobile broadband network.
They're going to find that it just works and it's fast.
As soon as you turn it on, bam, it's there.
How easy it is to get connected to mobile broadband and how easy it is to be always connected with Windows 8.
We think it is changing people's lives and we really want to be a major part of that, obviously.
Supercalifragilistic, oh my God, it's so cool.
Everything that I want from my PC and more.
Windows 8 is the best thing we've ever done.
Fast and efficient.
Unreal.
Windows 8 flies.
Windows 8 is going to be my delightful new companion.
It goes more places and it's just easier to use.
The most manageable Windows ever.
I think it's fresh.
Really cool.
Always connected.
Sweet.
The future.
Awesome.
Windows 8 is a new way of looking at things.
Windows 8 brings a new imagination to what you can do with the computer.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are about to begin. We invite everyone to please take their seats. Also, this would be an excellent opportunity to silence all phones. We appreciate your cooperation, and again, we are about to begin. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome distinguished engineer, Windows developer experience, Alesh Holacek.
Hello, Build 2011. How's everybody doing? Woo-hoo! Excellent. Are you ready to build some great Metro apps? Are you ready to get started? Well, we are here to get you going. I think it's clear from the demos we showed you during the keynote, and also from the great talk Jensen gave just before me. That was a pretty good talk, don't you think? That your apps will take the center stage in Windows 8 experience. Jensen walked us through 8 things that define great Metro apps. And in this talk, we will show you how to build these apps. We will show you some of the changes we've made in the core Windows platform to enable building of these Metro-style applications. We want to make it really easy for you to get started. And your apps are a big part of the Windows 8 vision. We made several major platform investments in Windows 8. We created a new Windows runtime set of APIs, and you have heard about these APIs already during the keynote. These APIs were designed to access the underlying system and the services of the device which your applications will be running on. These APIs were also designed to maintain the integrity of the great Metro experience which Jensen showed us. Obviously, it is a Microsoft tradition that these APIs are supported by great tools. And we will tell you more about them during this week and later also in the day. We added new app model and new app execution environment into Windows. And when we were designing this new app model, when we were working on this app execution environment, we had two key design points in mind. We wanted to make sure that people feel safe when trying and discovering new applications and running them on their Windows 8 PCs. And then the second design point was performance. I think that at this point, you might be getting kind of the hint that we kind of got performance obsessed over the last couple of years. And so we want to make sure that the runtime which we are building into Windows 8 will help you maintain the Metro experience which you have seen in all of these demos. And we want to make sure that you can maintain that performance even on a low power devices like the ones which Mike and Julo showed you during the keynote. Now, I will bring up a platform slide on the big screen there. It's kind of a boxology, as we call it at Microsoft. It's like a whole bunch of boxes stacked on the top of each other. I think that it's a little bit of an overstatement to say that it's a platform slide. So, on the top of the Windows kernel, what we have is we have these set of Windows runtime APIs. And this is a new set of object-oriented APIs that provide access to the device and to the OS, which sits right on the hardware, right on the metal. We took a very much end-to-end approach when we designed these APIs. All these APIs are native, and Stephen already talked about it in the keynote, and it is a very important point for us. They are implemented in a native C++. These APIs are tuned for performance, and they are tuned for efficiency. I think that the best way for a dev to illustrate this point is that these APIs are actually in-memory binary interfaces with a direct invocation. So every call into these APIs is just a VTable dispatch. It's super low overhead in these APIs. Another objective besides performance was the great developer experience for all of you. We wanted to make sure that using these APIs is straightforward and easy. We focused on consistency and on the right functionality in these APIs. So these APIs are built around modern unified type system. This type system lets you, the developers, do all kinds of call composition. And it lets us project these APIs into a number of programming languages. So how many people in the audience are planning or are wanting to write a Metro app in C++? Woo! Put your hands together. Yeah, be proud of it. Excellent. How many people want to write Metro apps in a managed language, like a C-sharp or a VB? Yeah! What's up with you C++ guys? What's going on? Like, are you shy or something? All right, and how many people in the audience actually come here with a web background and would like to write a Metro app in JavaScript and using web technology? There you go. Yeah. So we have the language for you. We want you to be able to pick the best programming language for the job in front of you. We want you to not have to compromise when you are building your application. The programming language is just a tool. We want to make sure that you don't have to learn a new programming language with some esoteric syntax. And we want to make sure that you get to reuse all of your knowledge and skills for building these Metro applications. So the APIs, these WinRT APIs, which we are talking here about, they are part of the operating system. And as a matter of fact, they are built with the operating system. They are not a part of any kind of framework or any kind of add-on. They are built with the operating system. And we build them every night when we compile Windows. And we generate metadata for every object in the WinRT API set. And we use that metadata to project the WinRT APIs into a whatever programming language you will be using. And these projections really feel natural and they just behave right. We have built a reflection into the API objects. Every object has a reflection built right into it to support dynamic languages. Right out of the box, obviously. And so in Windows 8, we focused on APIs for developing these Metro-style applications. We try not to do everything. We try not to boil the ocean. We really were focused to deliver the great Metro-style experience. So if you are, so that's represented at the box at the top. So if you are building a drivers or anti-services, the WinRT APIs are probably not the best for you. And so we also understand that many of you have a deep investment in technologies like Win32 and .NET and Silverlight. And all of these investments will be preserved and you will be able to use and run these apps on a Windows 8 just like you always were able to. And we saw that today morning in the keynote. So at this point, we talked quite a bit about the WinRT APIs. You've seen kind of glimpses of it in a keynote, and we keep alluding to these Windows runtime APIs and WinRT APIs. And so I think that it's about the time so that we look at these APIs actually in practice. So let's write some code. And first, when we were kind of rehearsing and when we were putting the build conference together, I thought that I would write the code on stage myself. I kind of thought it's kind of like walking and chewing gum to write code on a stage. It turns out to be really, really, really difficult. I tried it yesterday at a different presentation. It's really hard. And so to help me with writing code on a stage so we can make a good progress, I would like to invite on a stage my colleague John Sheehan. John is an architect on the app model team and works with me on the Windows platform. Please welcome John. Yeah, get down to my level so I can kind of see eye to eye with you. So what we are going to be doing here is we are going to be writing real code, obviously. And we are going to be building this code and writing this code on a very pre-release operating system. It's a developer preview, and I think that you've seen some of the glitches earlier in the day. And we will be doing it using very pre-release tools. And so there's a pretty decent chance that something will go wrong. So if we, by chance, encounter a catastrophic failure, cheer us along, and in the worst case, you will get an early break or something. All right, so John, so I see that you got already Visual Studio up and running, and so how about we create a new project? And so let's pause right here. So this is the new project dialogue, which you have seen today already in Keynote. And in the new project dialogue, you see that there's all of the languages which we just talked about, all of the languages which you raised your hands for, all of these languages are represented in this new project dialogue. And for each of these languages, we have a template pre-built for you. These templates are fully functional Metro-style applications. You can see that little thumbnail on the right-hand side of that template. And these little Metro-style apps, which are already pre-built, are just waiting for you to come in, jump in, and start filling in code and making the application, making your application great. So you can see that the same templates are available for Visual Studio, Visual C++, Visual C#, Visual Basic, and of course JavaScript as well. And so the place where we are going to start. Is we are going to start in C++. So, yeah! Thank you, C++ brother. I love that. That's pretty awesome. At least one in the audience. That makes me happy. Put so much effort into that C++ thing, so clearly it's paying off. all right, so. Let's create a Hello World app. I see that you've already typed Hello World there, so let's create a project. And we will use C++ to demonstrate some of the key concepts of the behind the WinRT APIs. We don't expect that all of you have to switch to C++, but we expect that many of you will find C++ the right language for the job. The folks who are going to be building, for example, games will love the fact that they can squeeze every cycle out of their game, that they can really control the vertical and the horizontal in their program. And so the thing which you see on the screen there, so John, what is it that we see there?
Well, it's standard XAML, just like you'd expect.
That's right, folks. It's standard XAML. And for those of you in the audience who are .NET developers or Silverlight developers, this is a very familiar sight. This is something which you deal with on a daily basis. For those of us who write C++, unless we write managed C++, this is not a familiar sight at all. And so we are going to bind to this XAML from native C++. It's a C++ which actually compiles to a x86 instruction stream or ARM instruction stream in case we are going to be running on an ARM device. So John, how about we create a button?
All right.
And then we create a text field and we will make that, and on the onclick handler of the button, we are going to say hello world, because every developer, when they are trying to get a feel of a platform, we all build hello world. And so how about we build one of those? And since there is such a big focus on the typography in the Metro style, I think that it's pretty appropriate. All right. So the interesting thing about the XAML is that we rewrote the entire XAML UI library. We have re-implemented the XAML UI library in a native code, and we have put the WinRT interfaces on the top of that WinRT library. And so now, because it's rewritten in native and it is WinRT, it's very easy to consume from C++. And obviously, it will be also easy to consume from C# and DB and the managed languages. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. Clearly, this is the most modern UI library we are making available, or Microsoft made available to C++ devs in a long time. Are we ready?
We're ready.
All right, so let's launch our first Metro-style application, which we all built together here and at the Build conference. John,
all right,
let
so
it rip.
Don't fail.
So as you can see, that we are precompiling headers. This is true C++, like down to the metal. And drum roll, and here we go. Here's a C++ application running using XAML. Technically, this is not really the first this is not the first Metro app which we have built together. You did a little bit of a speech coding with Antoine during the keynote, but that was hard to really say that was real coding. It was speech coding. I had a hard time following what he was doing, and I knew what he was going to type. But so we will try to kind of take a little bit of a slower pace. So now we have a C++ app, which greets us nicely, so it's Hello World. And so we made some pretty strong assertions about these WinRT APIs. And what we said is these APIs are very efficient and very performant. And so I would like to demonstrate that for the audience. So how about we pick some simple call, like select all, thank you. You can see that we rehearsed a couple times. The nice thing about the select all is that it doesn't take any parameters. So we are going to actually look at, did you put a breakpoint into the app?
I did.
Excellent. So now we are actually debugging. So see how it's going, like the first presentation, kind of zen, very mellow, like lots of principles and very kind of flowy and swishy and fast and fluid. Now we are looking at assembly code here, folks. So it's like we went from here to right down here. Yeah. And so what are we looking at, John? Like, tell us what we are looking at here. What's so remarkable?
About the most basic assembly you can get. We basically push the this pointer, and we make a vtable call to select all.
That's right. And so there is no trick code. This is just a vtable dispatch. And so we are trying to be as slim and as optimal as we possibly can. We want to get as much out of your way as we possibly can, so your applications get to shine not only on at the user experience level, but also when the app is accessing the hardware. So this is a real C++, and I think that at this point you are kind of getting the point. One of the nice things about C++ is that it's a very portable language. It lets you move code between different devices and even between different platforms as long as you are writing portable code. And so how about, John, we include in your project your favorite library, Boost.
Yes, my favorite.
All right. And so, yeah, excellent. Thank you. And how about we do something fun with that? So the one thing which we see at Microsoft is really renaissance of C++. Developers are really trying to target smaller devices. They are trying to squeeze every cycle out of these small ARM-based or what have you devices like phones. And so we really want to make sure that we make it as possible and as easy as possible for you. And clearly the portability of the code is also a very, very important thing. And so are you ready? Are you ready to run the app?
We've got a failure.
All right, we have a first failure. Cool, thank you.
All right.
We appreciate it.
I think now we're ready.
Not a catastrophic one yet, so don't get any hopes up here. You are not leaving yet, we are not done with you. I hope not.
Yeah. There's no.
Maybe we are done with you.
No, we're good.
All right, this looks way more promising. Do we have a breakpoint?
We have a breakpoint.
All right, and so what is happening there?
We have taken the integer 42 and converted it to a string.
Excellent. So
104, you can do a technology.
The whole point here is it just works. And we took a Boost library, included it in the C++ project, and made it just work. But there's another important point which I would like to make. Not all Windows APIs are included in the Metro SDK. There will be places where you will have to really rethink your code. Let me give you some examples. When we shipped Windows 7, we made pretty interesting learning. We learned that managing overlapped windows which kind of overlap on the screen, is really not that great with just touch. Like the whole overlap window metaphor is kind of awkward and cumbersome. And so we removed the concept of overlapped windows from our Metro design language. If you kind of reflect on all of the demos, and if you reflect on Jensen's presentation, you will see that there were no overlapped windows in any of these applications. And so if there are no overlapped windows in the applications, There are no overlap windows in this Metro SDK. And so let's try to make the most simplest case, message box, which is a overlap windows, and let's see what happens when we are when we actually try to compile this program. So what happened, John?
Well, we tried to use a message box and were immediately told that identifier is not found.
That's right. That's right, folks. The API will not compile. You will not be able to use any overlap windows in these Metro applications. As a matter of fact, you will not write another message loop as long as you are building Metro-style applications. Yeah, which is pretty cool. I think so, too. Like, that really gets me excited. When I actually joined Microsoft, that was one of my goals. I really wanted to remove the whole message loop thing out of Windows as much as I possibly could. Although they are totally cool, like, don't take me wrong. I don't want to offend anybody who who's like a message loop expert or anything. There's another set of APIs you will not find in our Metro SDK, and it's GDI. In WinRT, the only way to render is using DirectX. We are deeply committed to the performance thing, which we keep talking about. The fast and fluid, really, it's in our blood right now. And so, since we are deeply committed to the performance, hardware acceleration is obviously a big, huge part of it. And so we are going to use hardware to deliver the user experience which we've seen in all of these demos today. All right, so let's take a little bit of recap. Let's take a little bit of a break from the code. We want to kind of ease you into this. We don't want you to have a coding shock. Can we have a slide, please? So the things which we saw here is all WinRT APIs, or at least the part which we saw so far, is all WinRT APIs are native. We have seen that you can now use XAML from C++, from native C++. The XAML library itself is implemented as a set of WinRT APIs, and it's written in a native code. And reuse of portable C++ code just works. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the surface of the WinRT APIs. So now you are like, okay, dude, I get it. Fast, dispatch, vtables, totally makes sense. I'm a JavaScript programmer. I don't know what you're talking about. And so let's kind of look at what type of things we can do with the WinRT APIs. What kind of capabilities these WinRT APIs actually bring to the table? So obviously, we have a low-level fundamentals for building applications. We have low-level application services, things like threading, timers, memory management, authentication, and cryptography. We have an awesome media set of APIs which support playback and capture. They support Play-2, which is yet another contract in the set of contracts which you will be learning about throughout the week. The Play-2 contract lets you take an output of any video stream and send it to any DLNA device which supports the DLNA format. The media APIs also support rich visual effects on the top of the media. Because your applications will be running on pretty awesome devices, I'm sure you will want to access these devices as tightly as possible. And so, again, we want to get as much out of your way and let you write applications which really just jam on these devices. And so things like locations and all kinds of different sensors, or we saw today during the keynote, near-field communication. All of these APIs are supported through WinRT. You've seen that the Metro-style applications are highly connected. And so we really focused on delivering great APIs for connecting to all kinds of different services. contracts are part of the connectivity to part of the connectivity, kind of creating the web of these applications, as Jensen talked about. Things like notifications, also supporting all kinds of different formats natively, like JSON and XAML. And of course, we have a great set of user interface libraries or presentations. So we already kind of touched on the XAML thing. But the important thing which you should know is that we are bringing XAML and HTML5 on an equal footing with respect to being able to build Metro-style applications as a presentation technologies. They both are hardware accelerated. You have seen lots of the work which we have already done in IE9. And the WinRT surface is rich, so you can build really, really compelling experiences in these WinRT apps. So this slide should kind of, the key takeaway of this slide should be, I can do a lot of stuff with these WinRT APIs. And we have built lots of apps, and you have seen the type of things our interns did during the summer. And so how about we leap into another demo here? So let's go and use some of these cool, rich APIs, which we just talked about, and let's use them out of C#. And the thing which I want really you to take away from this demo is going to be how natural these APIs feel in a C#. And so, John, what do we have on the screen? I see that you got a little bit ahead of us here.
I just created a standard blank application in C#.
Wonderful. And that's really lovely. And so, thank you.
There we go, see? Now, if that didn't get applause, yeah. I was
gonna be... We are rolling here. The XAML library, and I already mentioned that, is a WinRT library. And so this XAML is going to run through the same code. It's going to be exactly the same code, which interprets this XAML markup. And so I know that interesting trick would be to take the XAML from the C++ project, which we just built, and how about we copy-paste it over here, just to kind of show that it's really the same XAML. I'm actually not entirely sure what it shows, but I think that it's pretty neat that we can copy-paste it from one project to the other. And so let's do that. And we had a text block here, and let's make it a little more visually appealing, and let's switch the text block for an image.
That's fair.
Okay. And how about, as a next step, we are going to show how easy it is to implement some of the contracts Jensen talked about in his previous presentation. So how about we write a code, John, which is going to load a image from the picture library of RPC, which we are working on here. So you saw all of the great functionality the app-to-app pick-in can deliver. And so we want to now show you how relatively easy it is to incorporate that functionality into your application. So let's look at the code here, what we have here. So what John is doing is he's creating a new object out of the namespace windows.storage.pickers, and he's creating the name of the object is a file open picker. It's a mouthful. It's really hard to say. And he's configuring that picker to select only JPEG images. That's the next slide, the file type out filter.add. And then he's going to say, picker, pick single file async. So the interesting thing which you will see here is the word async, and it's kind of everywhere, just in that little snippet of code. And then there's also new keywords which you may see there, which is await. And so in the WinRT API surface, many of the operations that could take long amount of time, and long amount of time is defined more than 50 milliseconds. So if the operation may take longer than 50 milliseconds, we are making that API async. You may ask why. Well, the reason is we really want to make sure that your application is always responsive. And so this code, which John just typed, when he says get the picker, or when he's opening the file async, We are accessing the storage, we are accessing the hard drive, and so what's going to happen, we don't know how long that operation is going to take. Imagine that it's not a hard drive on your machine, that hard drive is SkyDrive, for example, and we have to make a trip over the internet. And so it could take arbitrary amount of time, and if this thing is happening on the UI thread, your application is wedged. It's not responsive. And so to unmistakably avoid that problem, we are making all of these APIs, which may take longer than 50 milliseconds, we are making them async. And we are adding a lot of support into the programming languages to make programming of these async operations easier. So in this case, you see await and async keywords in that little snippet of C#. But there are other constructs in JavaScript and C++, and they will be covered in our track talks during the week. I know that Anders Hausberg is going to talk about async pattern in a C#, and it's going to be a fantastic talk to attend, for example. And so definitely go and see it. So how about we run that code? Are we ready?
I hope so.
I hope so too. No catastrophic failures, please.
All right.
Okay, so you saw we've wrote, if I remember, 5 lines of code or 6 lines of code or something like that. And if you feel like this is awesome and you want to clap, please don't let us hold you back. Okay, and so in these 6 lines of code, John created a file open picker and picked an image from the local hard disk of his PC, and that's like, woof, now it's doggy. And so how about we try to implement the thing which actually lets us go and connect to a SkyDrive or your favorite social networking site. How about that?
Actually, we already implemented it.
All right, folks, we already implemented it. It's the same 5 lines of code which will let you connect to when are we connecting? Socialite in this case, yeah. Cool. And so the other thing, when looking at the code, I think that it's really important to see how seamless and natural these WinRT APIs, which are implemented in C++, they are native APIs, how seamless and natural they feel in C#. They really feel like a regular .NET APIs here, yet they are not. And so how about we try something a little lower? How about we go a little bit lower on the hardware? So how about we create a camera capture UI? And how about we get hold of the camera, which is built into your PC? So what do we have to do for that, John?
2 lines of code.
All right, so 2 lines of code. And we are going to be getting stuff out of the webcam in the PC. It just turns out that this camera capture UI is the same UI we have seen in the demos when, for example, Julie was taking picture of her favorite puppet or whatever it was, the creepy thing. And so now John can capture picture. And here we go. Nice smiley face, John. All right, so as you can see, the APIs, the WinRT APIs provide a lot of functionality right out of the box. They are super, super rich. And so we are going to move off of the demo, and we are going to go into a summary slide. Summary slide, please.
Can we get the slides, please?
Thank you.
You have to ask nicely.
Yes. All right, so the WinRT APIs feel natural in C#. They really feel at home. Like, if you are a .NET developer, you will not, for the most part, you will not know the difference. The WinRT APIs provide a very rich access to the device, to the operating system, but also to various different services which live in the sky. And large number, many of these WinRT APIs are also asynchronous. So at this point, I think that we all understand that the WinRT APIs are kind of cool. Like, they kind of feel interesting. I think that we all want to get our hands on them and see what we can build with them. And let's talk a little bit about the app execution engine, which I said was another one of those deep investments which we are making in the platform. So the app execution engine, together with the Windows Store, which Anton showed off during the keynote, is an important part of the confidence story which we want to deliver to our customers. The app execution, the execution engine and big parts of the app model are implemented directly in the kernel of the operating system. Every Metro app, regardless of what language the application has been written, C++, C#, VB, JavaScript, it doesn't matter. Every Metro app will run inside of this inside of this execution environment. And so, this is kind of your app trying to do kind of stuff. We call the app execution environment app container. And so, the WinRT APIs, which we just talked about, you will use those WinRT APIs to talk to the rest of the system, to talk to the device, to talk to the system services. Most of the calls, the WinRT calls, go direct. They go directly. They go directly to the operating system, and they get directly processed. But some of the APIs, some number of these APIs, go through a broker. And the APIs which go through the broker are APIs which could have an impact on either system integrity or unwanted impact on the user data or could impact even a user privacy. If the app wants to use these APIs or if the app needs to use these APIs, it needs to declare its intent in a manifest. And manifest is a XML file which Visual Studio automatically includes in every project and in every application which you will be building. There's another part to the app execution environment, and that's performance. Again, this performance thing is kind of it keeps coming back. And the apps which run inside of these inside of the Metro environment, the apps are immersive. That means that they have a full attention of the person using the application, and we want to make sure that if the app has a full attention of the person, the operating system and the device is also paying attention and it's giving it as much attention as possible. And so, in order to deliver that, we introduced another state in the execution of an application. So, and you've seen that a little bit. You caught a glimpse, maybe, during the morning keynote when Steven launched a whole bunch of applications really, really quickly, and then brought up the task manager. And you could kind of see the applications go like ding, 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 suspend, 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 suspend. And so, these applications, because they were not being used by Steven in this case, they were entering a suspended mode because the user was not interacting with them. In the suspended mode, the applications are resident in a memory, but there is no code executing. Like the scheduler does not pay any attention to any of the threads from these applications or any of the processes from the applications. The apps, although if the system comes out of a low resource situation, out of, for example, under a memory pressure, the operating system may choose to actually terminate the applications to make a room for other apps where the person is actually sitting in front of the apps and interacting with the apps and being fast, fluid, and furious. Okay, so we're going to move to another demo. This time, we are going to write in JavaScript. You kind of caught on the pattern, right? Like, started with the C++ crowd, we moved into the C# crowd. So now we are going to appease the last crowd, the web developers. And so we are going to build an application right here in front of you using a JavaScript and HTML. It's an application which many of you see on your phones. It's a simple camera app. Can John please launch it? Yep.
Let's launch it.
Yep. So we have compiled the app. As you can see, we like to play with video. It shows off pretty well. It's a camera application. You can take pictures, you can take videos. The application stores the history of all of these different applications. It really takes advantage of the fluidity of the Metro experience. And so we are going to go. It can also share. Thank you. It can also share. So it's really well written, well considered Metro application. And although we are choosing to build this application using JavaScript and HTML, the same set of APIs, the same set of calls can be made using C++, C#, or VB. So how about we create a JavaScript blank application? We are going to start from nothing.
That's C++. Oops. JavaScript.
Yeah, JavaScript, please. Yep.
All right. Let's do that.
You can tell where John spends most of his time writing C++ apps. And so what we have on the screen is just a basic HTML. You've seen that HTML today morning in the keynote demo. And we are going to add a HTML standard video tag. So if you can, John, please add a HTML video tag. And the second thing which I would like you to add is create a media capture object out of the WinRT set of APIs and connect the output of that object to the input of the video tag.
I'll get right on that.
All right. And so the HTML which we are going to use to render this HTML is the same HTML engine which we use in Internet Explorer. It is not an Internet Explorer, however. It is just the same HTML engine which we are using in the WinRT API framework. We have made, as you know, number of deep improvements in this HTML engine for IE9. We have added hardware acceleration for rendering. We have added, we worked on a performance of the HTML engine and of the JavaScript engine. And also, we have made the engine of IE9 really. We made great advancements with respect to a standards compliance. And our goal really is to make your code as easy to, for you to make it as easy to bring the code in and really get working on these applications. For IE10, we are working further on enhancing the HTML engine. We are adding a whole bunch of rich visual effects. We are, for example, adding CSS text shadows. We are adding CSS 3D transforms. We are adding CSS 3 transitions and animations. We are adding CSS 3 gradients, SVG filter effects. All of these visual effects are going to take advantage of the GPU and hardware acceleration. We are also adding a pretty sophisticated set of page layouts. We are working with the W3C standard bodies to standardize grid and flexbox for app UI layouts. If you have ever tried to write an application which scales across a number of different form factors, and even if the application just runs in a web browser, it is a pretty difficult challenge today. We are also making reading much simpler by adding layouts for multi-column and figures. You have seen some of this in Jensen demoed several times. He demoed a newsreader. The newsreader is actually an HTML application, and all of the multi-column layout and all of the figures are actually written using these new layouts, these new CSS 3 layouts, which, again, we are working with the W3C standards bodies to standardize. And we are also enhancing our web programming model. So we are adding things like IndexedDB and application cache. We are adding web workers. We are adding WebSockets. We are adding HTML5, file APIs, drag and drop, and many more features which are coming into the HTML engine. So I see you are done. I was a little chatty. Tell us what you did there.
All I did really was just create a media capture object and initialize it, and then hook it up to the standard video tag source. And since it's a video tag, we actually have to play it.
That's right, folks. So what we are doing here is we are taking output from the WinRT API, and we are hooking it to the input of the standard HTML5 video tag. It's the same video tag which started the HTML5 revolution. And it absolutely natural. This is the beauty of the WinRT, APIs and the shared WinRT type system. So it's going directly from the capture, from the camera, it's going directly directly into the video tab. So are we ready to go?
Almost. So because this application wants to get direct access to the camera, we actually need to go into that manifest that you spoke about before, and we need to declare our intent to access the camera directly.
All right, so this is the app engine, the app execution engine, which we talked about. So this is the app engine, app execution engine in practice. So we have to declare that we want to access the webcam on the device, because for number of people, this could be a privacy concern. And so if we would not do that, it would fail. It would, the API would not execute because it's going through the system broker, and the system broker would look at the app manifest and it would say, nope, you don't have access. And so thank you for making the changes. Let's try to run the application.
All right, let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens, indeed. All right, and so this is yet another manifestation of the app execution engine in practice. The system broker, although we manifested that we want to access the webcam, the broker detected that we are going to access the webcam for the first time, and it's asking John, in this case, if he's okay with us accessing the webcam. And so, of course, John is okay. And so here we have, in a 10 lines of code of JavaScript, we have connected this media capture engine, the raw media capture engine, and we connected it into the video tag, and we have a very simple media capture app. So that doesn't look anything like what we showed you a couple minutes ago. And so let's make it a little easier on the eye, please.
All right. So that was all kind of bunched up in the left-hand corner. So we want to style it and make it look nicer, and since we happen to be working with HTML, the obvious way to style it is CSS. Now, I'm not a designer, but luckily I work with one who gave me a snippet of CSS that I can paste in, and I can use.
Excellent. So, thank you. So the thing which we have on the screen right now, what John highlighted, is a usage of a dash MS-dash grid. It is a proposed standard, and that's why it has the dash MS-dash decoration. But this is one of the sophisticated layouts. It has not been standardized yet. So this is one of the sophisticated layouts which I have talked about, which makes laying out these applications without using tables or lots of JavaScript code to kind of align things on the screen, which makes that really easy. And so, can we run it, please?
Let's run it.
All right.
There we go.
All right, it looks better.
And don't be shy, you can applause it.
Yeah, very good, thank you. All right. So how about now, because it is a camera capture API, so how about now we take the output of the media engine and we capture it and store it on a disk.
All right.
All right.
As always with HTML, you can do a little bit of HTML, a little bit of JavaScript, hook it together.
All right, and so at this point, we are going to try to access, because most of us store our pictures in the picture library, so we are going to try to access the user libraries in this code. And so John is going to type that, and while the accessing of the libraries is really easy, it also is asynchronous because, again, we are accessing the storage. And the timing on access of the storage is unpredictable. For the most part, on SSD, we will be probably fine. But then there will be cases we may not be. And so we want to make sure that your app never locks up. And so we are going to make it an asynchronous operation. And in a JavaScript, we are using a different metaphor than we are using in C sharp. In C sharp, we are using await keyword. In JavaScript, we are using promises. And so, John is going to be using these promises to write that code. So you can see the dot then operator. That's fulfilling the promise. That's when the promise gets fulfilled. Okay. So what we have done here, we effectively, when we click a button, we are going to grab the output of the capture engine, and we are going to scale it down to 800 by 600 because that's about the size of the image which we want. We will make it a JPEG, and then we are going to write that file into the library. John, go ahead, please. Oh, catastrophic error. Is that right? What is going on here?
Well, not in this particular case. Actually, all that's happened is that we're trying to access the user's picture library, which contains their personal information. And so we haven't declared our intent to do that yet, and so because of that, we're getting an exception. And Visual Studio here is actually telling us right on the line of code where we try to access it that we need a capability.
Right. And so the important thing is, although we are getting a JavaScript exception in this particular case, the important thing is it really doesn't matter what language this application would be written in. If this app would be written in C++, you would get the same error, although it may have a different manifestation. If the app would be written in C#, the same thing would happen. You would get the same type of error. And so now we will have to go into the capabilities of the application, and we will again have to declare that we want to have access to the picture library. And when the person is acquiring our application, they will see that the application is saying, hey, I will access your picture library. Are you cool with that? And if they are cool with that, at that point, we will be able to do that. So let's run the app. Okay, well, because we changed the manifest, we have to approve again the camera. Okay.
Now I can go ahead, I can tap, I can use the mouse, whatever I want.
Okay, and so now we have a little application which actually, when we tap the screen, it actually saves a JPEG. And so let's go see if actually it does what we said it's going to do. All right, and here we go. Here are from WinRT application, from JavaScript, we are writing pictures to your picture library. And this is all possible because this thing is just a PC. So let's make it a little more metro. So in the demo which we started with, you could see the flip view. You could see the swishiness when images got captured. And let's bring that swishiness into our application, John. And in the meantime, while John is doing that, I would like to talk a little bit about our controls. And so if I could please get the slide on the screen, the control slide on the screen. So we have touched on this a little bit during the keynote already, but we have a large number of controls as a part of the WinRT API surface. These controls are equally represented in XAML and in the HTML environment. Remember, we are bringing both of these environments on an equal footing with respect to presentation layers for metro-style applications. These controls are highly customizable and stylable, so you can really make them to be like your application. So, for example, if you look at the top left row of the slide, there's a button, and you can see that all the different ways you can style and customize the button. Things like grid view and semantic zoom and spell checking and progress bars and flip view, which is a control which John is incorporating. Things like app bars, they are already working perfectly with touch, and we want you to use these controls to make it easy for you to achieve the fluidity, the beauty, and the right responsiveness of the metro style experience. So these controls, of course, take big advantage of the hardware acceleration. So we use the hardware acceleration to render all of these controls. And that kind of delivers on the promise of performance. We have a spell checking, Steven made that point. We have a spell checking built into all of the text inputs running in the browser or running in for the metro style applications. And again, these controls are equally usable from C++, C#, VB, or JavaScript. The JavaScript controls are kind of interesting because some of the controls are actually implemented as a intrinsic controls as a part of the HTML runtime. A good example is a button of one of these controls. And some of these controls are actually implemented in JavaScript. So the way how you should think about it is we have controls which effectively take a div, and then we have a code similar to MooTools or a jQuery which actually generates the controls on the fly. And But we have a nearly parity with respect to all of the controls which are available across these two frameworks. Are we ready?
Hope so.
All right. So let's give it a whirl. Let's see what we have here. So can we please get John's machine?
Come back to the piece. Great.
So can you quickly walk us roughly through the code?
Sure. So I used a few snippets because there was a bunch here. But basically, we're going to go ahead and use standard FlipView control, which is a WinJS control. And because it supports data binding, we're actually going to have two different data binding templates, one for when we want to show an image, one when we want to show a video. We also stuck in an overlay because we're going to be able to capture some video, and a div for doing the slide animation.
Excellent. Let's run our app.
All right.
All right. Okay. So now this app actually kind of looks like the application which we showed you roughly 20 minutes ago. And it does all of those cool tricks, including John rocking out. And it's pretty impressive how we went from nothing to application like this using JavaScript, HTML5, and CSS, and build this application. But we are not done yet. So the key thing which is missing here is we have not yet integrated the application into the contracts, into the right contracts for the for this application. And so, John, how about we go ahead and do that?
All right. I'm sure people are sick of me typing at this point, so I'll just show you some of the code.
So integrating with the contracts takes roughly 6 or 7 lines of code in this particular case. The contract we are going to be implementing, we will become a source of sharing contract. So you will be, the person using this application is going to be able to share out of this application to a number of different applications, which will enable us to take a picture and or video and share that picture or video to our favorite social network. Or service, or cloud, or SkyDrive, or what have you. Are we ready?
I'm pretty sure I didn't fat finger that one.
Let's get it. Let's get it going.
All right. So the app's running. I can take a picture. I can swipe over.
And let's share it somewhere.
All right. I'll share it with Tweeterama.
All right. And so again, within a few lines of code, call it 10. We've built an application I'm actually curious, what is the line count on the app? Can you scroll all the way to the bottom?
Total is 194 lines.
Excellent. I mean, 200 lines of JavaScript code here, and a little bit of half a page of HTML. We have a metro-style application which accesses the local devices of this machine, in this case, webcam and microphone. It has we have an application which integrates into the rest of the operating system and with the rest of the applications and on the system. And it also is beautiful and fluid and really is a metro-style application, just like we saw in the other demos. And that's pretty impressive. And thank you, John.
Hey, Alex.
But all done.
Would you like to tempt fate?
I think that there is one more thing which we are going to try, okay? Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. We are doing well in time, no catastrophic failures. So we are going to do a little bit of an experiment. So far you have seen us consuming a WinRT APIs which are part of the system. You have seen us using WinRT APIs which we build for you. However, what would it look like if you want to build a WinRT object which you would like to consume through JavaScript or C# or whatnot? And so we asked our friends in our graphics team to build us a little bit of a DX magic on the top of image munging. And so what they gave us is a filter based on DX11. It's using HLSL and a new set of APIs which we are adding into a D2D, which is all about pixel manipulation, hardware accelerated HLSL based pixel manipulation. And so they gave us this project which compiles in C++, and we wrote around their code a WinRT object, and then John is now going to include that code into our project. And so the first thing which is kind of remarkable is that we have a
solution in a Visual Studio, and so far we have coded that solution in JavaScript. And now into the same solution, into the same project in a Visual Studio, we are going to add actually a piece of C++. And so when we have, when we hit actually compile, not only that it's going to kind of package everything up and put it all together, but first it has to compile the C++ to create all of the metadata which it will need to then project the DX, the DX object into the JavaScript and HTML. Are we ready?
Well, actually, we need to first give you something to click on. So
oh, well, let's do that too. That would be good. So what we are going to do is let's add an app bar, John, because it is such a signature control for the MetroStyle applications. And on the app bar, let's add a button. And that button is going to be our launching point for our experiment.
All right. So we're building some C++. We're running.
Okay, we have definitely a problem.
Yes, we do. I can't type.
All right. Let's fix that.
What is it called? What do we call our C++ project? Image processor?
Imaging processor.
Aha.
All right. So.
All right. Bug fixed.
All right. Let's go. Let's see it running. Where's it going to run? I'm on the edge of the seat, and I don't even have a seat. Okay. So. Here we go.
Right.
Capture picture.
Let's take a picture. I'll swipe over. I'll swipe up to get the bar, and I do it.
Hey, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. So at the beginning, you were nice and smiley face. I cannot say the same thing about this picture, obviously. So that's pretty cool. So now you have seen actually us build a C++ code. We created a C++ object. The whole thing underneath it is native. It's DX. It goes down to the metal. It executes a whole bunch of HLSL, and we can use it completely natively in our JavaScript app. Of course, if I take that object and give it to you, and you are one of the hundreds or not thousands of C# developers in the audience, you will be able to take that object, the same WinRT object, and use it in your C# apps. And so. I think that we would like to kind of recap of the same of the things which we have seen. Yes.
Okay.
What did we see so far? So what we saw was a HTML5, CSS, JavaScript, great languages for building metro applications. We've talked and seen some of the deep improvements which we are making to our HTML platform, both as a part of the web browser and as a part of the Windows runtime to make building HTML applications for the web and for Windows 8 that much easier. We have seen a rich set of controls which can and should be used for building these MetroStyle applications. We build in front of you an app which is not that different from many of the camera apps which you have on your phone. And we went as far as adding a WinRT component, which, although we didn't build it on a stage, but it was custom built for this project project for us. And so reusing the WinRT components from your friends or colleagues is super, super easy and also translates across number of languages. And we also showed you how easy it is to add contracts into your application. And so now we have a good app, and I think that it would be really nice if we could share the application with as many people as possible. And obviously, the store is going to be the way to go and do that. Except the store is not ready as a part of the. We are not releasing the store as a part of the. Windows developer preview right now. And so there is a different way, we want to show you a different way how you can share your application with your testers or colleagues in the meantime. And so we will use the same store menu which Antoan showed you during the keynote, and we are going to create a package of this application. And so John, can you please walk us through it?
Sure, can we get back to machine 50? Great. All right, so here we have the store menu, and if I was going to be uploading it to the store, I'd obviously choose the upload package menu. But here, we're going to create an app package, and we're going to build one that's to use locally. So I can do that. This is the location it's going to be put. Let me grab that. All right, so we're ready to build a package. So now what's going to happen is Visual Studio is going to use the packaging tools to go and create your package just as if you were going to upload it to the store.
So let's go look at all of the stuff which got created as a result of this packaging operation. And so all of the stuff got saved into a directory of your choice, obviously. And so let's look at the directory. So what we have there is we have effectively four things in this case. One of them is the Apex package. So that is the installer for the application. So there is no more installer writing for Metro-style applications. The installers are these Apex packages. The whole installation process is entirely declarative. So Visual Studio takes all of your assets, packages them up, creates this Apex file, and that's all of the installer writing you ever will have to do. Because we have a native component, we have a C++ component in our app, there's also symbols included for that component. One thing which we kind of touched on a little bit is all applications, all Metro-style applications must be digitally signed. And so because you will be now distributing this application, you will be giving this application to your tester or to your friend for trying, here's the self-signed certificate which was used to digitally sign the package, the Apex file. And to make it really easy, we have pre-generated a batch file which will insert the certificate into the CRED store of Windows and then run the installation procedure on the Apex package. And so, John, how about we actually look what's inside of the Apex file?
Sure. So an Apex file is actually a zip file, so we can just rename it in Explorer and look right inside. Inside here, we see here's the HTML file we were working on. We can go in and see there's the JavaScript we were writing. And then you'll see a few other files in here, like there's the manifest that we were editing. And then there's some things like a block map that automatically gets generated so that the system can verify that the digital signature hasn't been broken for the package.
All right. And so at this point, you have seen the end-to-end lifecycle of the application. We have started with So we have started in several different languages. We build applications, although very simple ones, in C++ and managed languages, C# in our case. And we've built a pretty complete application in JavaScript and HTML. And so that's about the end of our presentation. Thank you. You have been a wonderful audience. And enjoy coding Metro-style apps.